Steve Wilkinson is a member of the Tennis Hall of Fame. He was the winningest coach in college tennis while at Gustavus Adolphus College for 39 years, between 1971 and 2009. Wilkinson coached 46 players to 87 All-American honors. This despite the fact that he de-emphasizes winning. Wilkinson's new memoir is called Let Love Serve. He told me why it's sometimes hard to convince players to adopt his coaching philosophy.
The reason is because we don't emphasize winning. We emphasize things that are within our control. And in our society, winning seems to be everything. So even though I have a philosophy that de-emphasizes winning because finally it's something outside of our control, it's a hard thing to counter because every time there is a game, a parent will ask their kid, well, did you win? What was the score? It's communicated time and time again that that's the bottom line. And for me, it's not. The bottom line is what we call the three crowns. These are three things within our control. And when we've got something that's within our control, then there's not the same reason to get nervous and to be anxious about it.
I want to talk about the three crowns, but you can hear there's a certain irony here in that you're the winningest coach in the history of men's collegiate tennis, and you just told us that you don't emphasize winning.
Correct. And there is an irony in that.
But why is it, do you suppose, that de-emphasizing winning leads to winners in your case?
Because it takes you from worrying about things outside your control. And besides winning, playing your best is outside your control. If everybody who wanted to play their best were able to do that, you would be superhuman.
So if it's not about winning and winning is kind of out of your control, what are the three crowns that you have people hold in their mind?
Number one, I have a commitment to a positive attitude. No matter what happens, I can choose to be positive or I can choose to be negative. Expressed differently, our cup is half full or half empty. Which half of the cup are you going to focus on? There are simply lots of situations where it may be difficult to focus on the positive. We all encounter lots of challenges.
Yeah, bang, you just lost three sets, 6-0, 6-0, 6-0. Where are you going to find the positive?
And this is an interesting challenge for parents. Let's say you've watched the match, and this is what I urge parents to do. Within a match, there is going to be a number of good points that are played. The score may be 6-0, 6-0, but this doesn't tell the whole story. Of course, when someone comes off from a defeat, the natural tendency is to think about what you did wrong because, after all, you lost. And when a winner comes off of a match, he also did a number of things that were wrong. But here, naturally, the focus is on what you did well. And so what you need to do is to bring a winning perspective to a losing effort. And the way a parent helps that is, do you remember when the score was 3-3 and you hit that beautiful approach shot into the deep corner, came to the net and volleyed it off to the other side? That was gorgeous.
I'm talking to Steve Wilkinson. His memoir is called Let Love Serve. It celebrates his life in tennis, where he was the winningest coach in the history of men's collegiate tennis. So, number one, be positive. Focus on what you did well, even if you lost.
Correct.
What's number two?
Number two is full effort. I can be down 6-0, 5-0, 40 love, one more point, and I lose. But I don't give up. I don't quit. And that's hard to do when you're playing poorly, when you're down. It would be much easier to give up. But in the process, you do really a disservice to your opponent. Opponent never appreciates an opponent that gives up. And so I have that commitment, no matter what the score, no matter how I'm playing, no matter how I'm feeling, I'm not going to quit.
What's the third crown?
The third crown is good sportsmanship. This is something that I first was introduced to by Arthur Ashe as a priority. He really offered me an important insight. He emphasized that I never should challenge an opponent's line call. You see, in tennis, most of the time, we are calling our own lines, as opposed to other sports where there's a referee. Prior to that, in my collegiate years, I thought I was being polite. I would stare at the person when they would give me a bad call. I wouldn't say anything. And then if it was really bad, I would stare at them and smile like, well, you got me that time. This was a form of challenging that now I realize was very untasteful. And Arthur told me his father had told him never to challenge an opponent's line call. And I took this another step further, and that is to emphasize the goal of competition is to establish trust with opponents.
Why do you want to have an opponent trust you? You're trying to beat them.
I mean, I've seen this happen many times. I'll go into a match where an opponent has a reputation for cheating, and I'll be warned by my friends, well, you better be very careful. Don't let him get away with anything. My experience with these people is that they have been extremely fair. Now, what explains the difference between what others perceive in this, in their relationship with this particular opponent, and what I have experienced? And I think it has a lot to do with the establishment of trust. Now, there are specific things that I can do as I head into a match. When I'm playing the match, instead of beating up on myself when I make a mistake, I can give my opponent credit. A lot of people don't realize that when you're out there beating up on yourself and putting yourself down, indirectly, you are putting your opponent down. What you are saying is, the reason you won that point isn't because you're any good. It's I'm having a bad day. And there are other things that that I can do. Mm-hmm. For example, it's the responsibility of my opponent to call the balls on his side of the net. But if I see a ball that's out on his side of the net, I can call the ball out on myself. Now, maybe many people don't do that. I certainly do, and it's amazing the influence it has when somebody realizes that their goal is fairness in calling the lines fairly, accurately, rather than winning. They see me with a different agenda than winning at all costs.
I'm talking to Steve Wilkinson about tennis and about life and his coaching philosophy that led him to be the winningest coach in the history of men's collegiate tennis, and he's been telling us it's not about winning, it's about being positive, it's about full effort, and it's about good sportsmanship. Steve Wilkinson, it was like that for you and your players, but do you really think these are universal values in sports? Might another coach or another attitude be equally successful but take a different, completely different tact?
There's no question if you measure success by winning that different approaches have been taken. But in the final analysis, for me, success is not measured by the wins. For me, the most successful players are the ones that demonstrate these universal values of love and acceptance and trust and so forth. For me, that was modeled by Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe has been recognized by society as being extremely successful. In fact, you know, the stadium at Flushing Meadows was named after Arthur Ashe. Why was he picked when, by comparison, he won so few titles? Yes, he won Wimbledon. Yes, he won the U.S. Open, but once. While we've got plenty of people that won it far more times. And I think there's a perception universally that elevates Arthur Ashe to a different level because of the values he espoused and lived by.
You knew Arthur Ashe. Tell me about how his philosophy of living impressed itself upon you.
I was most impressed by the way that he competed. I never saw him challenge an opponent's line call. I saw him have a cool demeanor as he would play. This classic match that he played against Jimmy Connors at Wimbledon in 1975, a beautiful example of control of his mind. He was meditating between points. There's just a coolness, an acceptance of other people that is very, very impressive. And it's how he played and how he lived that was the most impressive.
What was he like as a man?
He was a gentle person. He was very accepting. He, I think, was very sensitive to other people and to causes.
He was a black man in what was a very white sport.
Exactly.
And he rose to the top of the game of tennis. Did he ever talk to you about issues that may have raised for him?
Yes, it's laid out beautifully in his autobiography, Days of Grace. You know, it wasn't easy. He went to South Africa when apartheid was still the law of the land there. And I think played a really important role. He was a good friend with Nelson Mandela. He was connected in a humanitarian way with the most important humanitarian causes. As Arthur was facing death because of AIDS that was contracted through a blood transfusion, he said, well, I hope that I will be able to face death as bravely and as courageously as Hubert Humphrey did. And so he made the statement. He taught us not only about living, but he also taught us about dying.
I understand you're also dealing with cancer. Is that right?
That's correct.
Are some of those lessons that you're taking into your own life?
Oh, no question. Probably one of the reasons that Arthur is so inspiring to me. One of the chapters in the book that I wrote, Let Love Serve, focuses on the bravery of Arthur. And it's that particular approach that I am using as I approach death because of kidney cancer. 6 years ago, I was given 9 months to live. I'm still here.
How do you stay brave?
You stay brave by focusing on the things within your control. None of us know when our last day is going to be. And yet, until you're facing something like I'm facing, it's hard to take that seriously. The natural tendency is to think we're going to live a number of additional years. In fact, it was my goal to be playing in the 90 and over division.
I should point out that not only are you a renowned coach, you are also number one in the United States in the 45, 50, 55, and 60 and over divisions.
And when this was happening, I wasn't thinking about death. So there's a real importance. I think there's an intensity, there's a value that you are given when you know that your days are numbered. And in that sense, I've been blessed by a forewarning and by being able now to live for 5.5 years, in a sense, passed by death notice.
Well, Steve Wilkinson, thank you so much for spending part of one of those days with us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Steve Wilkinson, a star tennis coach and a star tennis player in his own right. His book is called Let Love Serve, a memoir celebrating tennis and life. This is The Record on KUOW.